Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
There's things that I've done, many things that I do mm-hmm. that aren't going to ever make me any money, but I feel like are successful. I mean, this book that I just wrote.
I want to talk about it. Oh, by the way, that definition only is for me. It's my neurosis. So everyone else, like to me, are huge success. If you had,
of course.
Yeah,
of course. And all the advice that we give to other people, we never apply to ourselves.
Let's talk about your book for a second.
Okay.
Just 1 second. So try to.
Yeah.
That's it. Hold it up.
And the only reason I have it in front of me is because I do book events from this very space.
And you wrote another great book too, a memoir, right?
I
loved it so much. What was the one where the photo of you on the covers, you're sitting on a bench?
That's called You're Not Doing It Right.
Oh, I love that one. And that's about your mom when she came out, right?
That's called Navel Gazing, which is more about my mom.
That's right. Okay. So Navel Gazing is incredible. I would recommend both.
Thanks.
And really great stories of how you met your wife and mm-hmm. both books are incredible. So now you're on to, and you've written children's books as well. Mm-hmm. So now you're on to A Better Man, which what a year for it to come out. How did you plan it that way?
The unfortunate thing about writing about issues around manhood is that it's timeless, it's evergreen. So I sort of figured whenever it came out, and I actually think it was bad, the timing of it, just because of the pandemic. But
it's funny. I always think like, oh, that's great timing because people have time to sit home and read books, but maybe they're not buying as much.
No, I mean, I think book sales are up, but yeah. I think people are buying kind of lighter stuff and not a comedian's thoughtful take on issues around masculinity. I don't feel like people are like clamoring for that right now.
Can you tell me about the book? I mean, I read it and loved it and I know about it, but you know, for the listener, viewer, it's a letter to your son.
It's literally that. It's literally a comedian's thoughtful take on masculinity. It's called The Better Man, a mostly serious letter to my son. And that's what it is. It's a mostly serious letter to my son, Elijah, who was a senior in high school when I was writing it and was turning 18 and was about to leave for college. And I wrote him this book about what I think it means to be a guy in this world.
What do you think it means? Like, what's one example? What's one piece of advice?
So the first example that came to mind when you asked, because I don't think people think about this particularly, but I think the default setting for masculinity, like at its core, is terror. I think masculinity is rooted in terror. And mm-hmm. it is the fear of not being enough and having everything taken from you and mm. being defeated and not having any worth in your tribe. And I think everything springs from that. Every notion of masculinity kind of springs from that. And so the message to my son and to all people, not just men, is something that, again, when we talk about advice that we give to others that we don't apply to ourselves, is this. And I mean this for him, and I mean it for you and everybody, which is that you are enough, that everybody has a certain... lately, I've been thinking of it in terms of a song. Like, we all sort of play a song, and it's unique to us, mm-hmm. and it's enough. Like, it contributes something. It contributes something powerful. If you can trust that it's there and that you have a voice. And the reason I think of songs is because I was thinking about somebody like Bruce Springsteen, who, like, a Bruce Springsteen song from 30 years ago is recognizable as a Bruce Springsteen song when you compare it today. Like, he's got a song, and like Jim Gaffigan, like, that's a song that he's singing, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like all of us sort of have that thing. And, you know, all the stories that we tell, no matter what your life is, whether you're a comedian or you're an accountant, whatever it is, like, we're all telling a story. Mm-hmm. And the story, I feel like, is the same three chords for all of us. I mean, they're different three chords for all of us, but we all have our three chords that we're endlessly repeating and riffing on. And your job in this life is to just sort of sing your song.
Now,
that's a corny way to put it, but I think it's true.
I think that's great. And I feel like, you know, it's tough because what you're saying is correct, but I would also argue, I'm not arguing you, but I would argue
sounds
that,
like you're arguing with me.
Oh,
and I didn't come on your show to be undermined. That seems...
This is the classic man behavior, threatened. No, but I would say that the problem with it is that if only everyone could get on that same page, because, you know, even saying you are enough sounds inherently, right, feminine to me. And the worst case scenario someone could say is like, that's gay, you know. And there was a great book that came out in the 90s. Now, while you were busy running around New York in the 90s being famous, I was just a young feminist in my apartment in Brooklyn reading very heady books on feminism. And, you know, listen, we did different things. You know, you were busy putting on wigs and outfits, and I was getting to work on gender.
Yeah. You were studying important things.
Yeah.
And I was trying to have sex with girls.
Well, I read Susan Faludi's Backlash in 1996 or 7. Have you heard of that book?
I read it last year when researching this book.
Okay, great. So I was going to say that something she talked about that I remember, I mean, it's almost as though you could see the future, the Capitol storming, the people who cling to Trump, the men that are afraid of being replaced. It's like she was saying, if the women's movement wants to not implode, we've got to soothe the men that they're not being replaced. They're being we're helping ease the burden, you know, of, they don't have to do all this. Like, hey. And I think that's inherently the male glitch or trauma or conflict, which is you don't have to shoulder all this. And yet if they don't, what's their identity? And well, it's hard to carve
out. You just identified it.
Yeah. It's hard to carve a new identity as a man when not every man is on the same page. So your mm-hmm. son, even you, going through the world, what kind of men are you going to run into? What kind of women are you going to run into that, you know, may not respond to that? They may not like, you know, there's still women that are trained to want this caveman shit. You know, it's just it's difficult. Like, we're in a real growing, in our lifetime, we're probably not going to see everyone get on the same page about this, right? But I bet eventually it will. It'll be beautiful, but we'll be dead. But you know,
oh, long dead, but yeah. I don't think of it like that. Like, I don't think there's an end point to this conversation. I don't think it's like one day we wake up and it's like, there's parity between the sexes and everybody's like getting along. And like, I think these conflicts, if they're not between like male roles and female roles, like they're going to be between something. There's always going to be friction rubbing mm-hmm. up about something. And I think what you were relating about, Backlash is right. Like, men's identities are so deeply entwined with the idea of protecting and providing.
Yeah.
When women started entering, well, you know, when women got the vote and then they started entering the workforce a few decades later in big numbers, like, a lot of men felt, I think, understandably threatened, because the central pillar of their identity, the provide for, which is so intertwined with the protecting part of it. They felt like, you know, somebody was knocking up against that, and it could threaten like their very real sense of self. Because if they're not needed to provide, what is our purpose? Like, what are we here for if we're not here to like provide? And, you know, my argument in this book is our role is to provide and protect, but so women's role can also be to provide and protect.
Yes,
and women's role is to nurture and nourish, but men's roles can also be to nurture and to nourish. Like, women have done a great job of expanding who they are over the last half century. And as a culture, like we've I think for the most part sort of been like, yeah, like women can do all these things and should do all these things. And men have sort of been stuck in the same place. And all I'm saying, and all, my only argument in this book is, let's do the same work for men that we've done for women. Let's open the culture for men in the same way that we've opened it for women.
We have to.
Because it's killing us.
It's literally killing men, women. And it's also just like, I want to just shake everyone that's afraid of it and go, God, you're going to have so much more fun when you let down this fear and open yourself up to things.
And, you are the expert on fun. Like, that's your thing.
That's my
thing is fun.